So, 4 weeks ago, I preached on loving God and that Jesus gave us a commandment to love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And I preached on that, and I'm going to give a quick synopsis of that, because I'm going to pull off of that for this week. We are to love God, and part of loving God is trusting God. Anybody have problems trusting God? Yeah, all of us, right? Because sometimes we don't see the things that he's doing. How about praise and worship and prayer to demonstrate our love for God and to spend that time to get more intimate and to get more knowledge of him? And boy, that's really hard in the busy lives we live, isn't it? Isn't it really hard to break out 15 minutes sometimes or maybe an hour? Oh my goodness. When I was in Africa and even when I was in South Dakota on some trips, people would travel 3 or 4 hours just to come to a service. Can you imagine having 6 hours round trip to be able to come to a 3 or 4 hour service? That 3 or 4 hour service, imagine that. I've been advised that today is Memorial Day and there's boats waiting and lunch waiting, so we have to go short. I don't. Anyways. Reading God's word was the third one, and how when we read God's word, it grows inside of us. It's the living word of God, and it gives us framework and understanding and knowledge of who God is and how important it is to have that knowledge. Because when things go wrong and problems occur, what do we reflect on? Do we reflect on our own understanding, or do we reflect on the things of God? Hopefully, we reflect on the things of God. We don't lash out in anger. We don't lash out in fear, or whatever it is. And the last part was obedience. Jerry, can you get me a water? And the last part was obedience. Because through obedience, it allows us to be in a place where we are serving God, doing the things of God, and in that obedience, we can be holier or be closer to God in a way that leads to holiness, right? Enoch was so close with God that he got transfigured. Actually, if you look at that scripture, he chased God. He tackled him. He went after him in every part of who he was. He would not just surrender to, oh, I know you. He wanted to know God. Thank you. It's all that morning bacon I had. So, one of the ways that we can grow closer to God and that we can show God is repentance. Now, when I start talking repentance, usually people freak out because you're like, everybody walks up to them, repents, and hits them with a Bible. And that's not what I'm talking about today. And this message is really about a lifestyle that draws us closer to God through the process of repentance. Repentance is an absolute important aspect of our Christian walk. And as I studied this and I've learned more about it, the more I realize how important that it is. It really is one of the best ways that we can love God. And so, really, where does repentance show up in the Bible? Well, Old Testament, New Testament. John the Baptist. What was his whole series of things that he taught in the desert? Repent, for the kingdom is near, right? Matthew 3:1-2. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, John the Baptist is out in the middle of the desert, people talking to people, and they were repenting. And how do we know that? Because he had a large following of people when Jesus came on the scene. But what does Jesus say about that? How early in Jesus' ministry does he talk about repentance? Actually, really, really early. He talks about it in Matthew 4:7. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus' first message was repentance. If John the Baptist is in the wilderness telling everybody to repent, and Jesus is coming into the cities and telling everybody to repent, repentance might actually be kind of important. Now, when we look at repentance, we have a very bad persona with it. And it's because of really kind of the way people perceive repentance. Oh, I'm so bad. I'm so horrible. I need to go repent. We're a church about hope, healing, and wholeness. We believe in God's grace. We believe in God's mercy. We believe that God pours out his spirit upon us. The word that Jesus used in Matthew 4 was metanoia. And that word, by its nature, means to think differently afterwards, to reconsider morally, to change one's mind, or to change one's mind for the better and completely amend those sins that they have done in the past. It's to make a decision. Repentance is not about, oh God, forgive me, and walk away. And 2 days later, you're doing the same thing. Right? Because ultimately, that's what I see a lot of Christians doing. They run to the altar, God, forgive me for my sin. And 2 days later, they're doing the same thing, if that long. Sometimes it's 2 minutes later or 2 hours later. It's not just simply saying, God, forgive me. And he does. When we go to him, we say, God, forgive me for my sins. Our sins are forgiven, and those are taken care of. Repentance is deeper than that. Repentance is saying, God, forgive me. I understand what I have done based on your word, based on your character. Repentance is a tool that God gave us so that we can draw closer to God rather than be beat down by God. Most people perceive repentance as a beat down. It's not. It is a form of growing, a place where we can grow closer to God and have a more intimate relationship with him. Ultimately, God wants to have a very deep, personal, intimate relationship with every one of us. Repentance is one of the keys. But we need to take that step forward. The Hebrew word for repentance is shuv. Glad Ben's not here, he would correct me. But the Hebrew word means to turn around 180 degrees. So if we take these two words, we put them together, we make a conscious decision to realize what we've done is sinful and wrong and against the holiness and against God, and we walk away from it toward God. Does that make sense? All right. See, repentance, by its nature, is about God's grace. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God has been revealed through salvation to all people. How does this tie together, Pastor Mark? Are we saved? Have you given your heart to the Lord? If you've given your heart to the Lord and you recognize that you were a sinner, that you have fallen short of the glory of God, that you have made mistake and mistake and mistake that you could not pay for, and you've accepted the Lord as your Lord and Savior, you're a believer and you've received salvation through grace. Repentance is really about us exercising the grace of God in a deeper manner. It is a gift, and it is about God's love. Salvation is there because God loves us. Salvation is there because God cared about us. Salvation is there because God wants us to have a deeper relationship with him. Ephesians 2:8-10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yours, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. By grace. we have been saved through faith. We've accepted, we said yes. By God's grace, could you accept the forgiveness for all those deep interpersonal sins that you don't talk about? By God's grace, could you allow him to forgive you? And could you forgive yourself? By God's grace and by faith, could you let God in closer to you? Those are questions that we all have to answer. And they're challenging. See, faith is a really deep conviction of truth, of what we believe to be true. What do you believe to be true about yourself? What do you believe to be true about God? Grace and faith flow together, which actually makes us stronger in him and stronger as individuals when we have good, solid truth. See, before you were saved, you didn't have good, solid truth, right? We didn't know who God was. We didn't see the miracles of God. We didn't see the mercy of God. We didn't see the grace of God. We were out doing our thing, whether it was whatever sinful thing we want to, you can think of. Whatever it was, we didn't believe the truth of God. It is at that moment when the Holy Spirit kind of pinpricked us on the shoulder and said, hey, I want you. For me, it was at a Promise Keepers convention in 2003 up in Albany, where I literally stood up, raised both hands, and I asked God if you're, I used an explicit of real, prove it to me. He did. If we are going to walk with strong faith and we are going to walk with God's grace and we've seen God's grace move in our life, then James 1:23-25 kind of comes into play. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like the man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he has done. You all know that God has saved you. You all know that God has forgiven you. Be a doer of that word and let him forgive you through the process of repentance. When you come to him and you're like, Lord, I messed up again pretty bad. Lord, this thing keeps bothering me. Lord, I have this continuing behavior. Lord, I have things in my life that are not right. And you come to him and you've thought about them and you've worked through them, God can set you free. Through that deep willingness to let him, that deep intimacy with him. Why? Why does God want to have that deeper relationship with you? I always ask questions because Jesus asked questions. And I ask questions because I don't really ever know the answer. Why? Why do we want to have that deeper relationship with you, God? Why do I... Because God has stuff for you to do in your life. True? How do we get there? How can we go do the things of God? How can we walk life out and be servants of God and walk it out in a way that honors God, that keeps us close to him? 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God looks down from heaven and he sees you through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You are not the person of your failures. You're not the person of your personal dark secrets. You're a child of the Most High. And that's how he sees you. See, God wants us to live a righteous life so that God can use us in every aspect of our life. This church, Hope, Healing, and Wholeness. Our mission and our goal is to bring hope to people. How many people are hopeless that you know? How many people are broken that you know that'll never heal because they can't live a life that's righteous in their own power and their own strength? How many people do we know that are, that are broken and battered? Because ultimately, because ultimately, righteousness comes from Christ. It doesn't come from our good works. It does not come from anything other than what He pours out on us. He gives us His character because our character is flawed. So what does it mean to be righteous? We use that word all the time. We throw it around. Well, I'm a guy who likes definitions. So, righteousness means to become acceptable to God with integrity, virtue, purity of life, righteousness, correctness of thinking and feeling and acting. Basically, we pull our brains and our bodies out of the world that we live in and we walk a Christ-filled life. We have to walk a Christ-filled life. It's not in our power, in our authority, in our ability to do it. We need the Holy Spirit to help us walk through that process so that we can be righteous in Christ, that we can be doers of God's word, that we can help the lost. And how do we get righteousness? How do we get it? It's a gift from God. It's the gift of grace that He gives us, that He allows us to be righteous. It is that righteousness that allows us to know who God is. Anybody here ever have a major problem in their life? And you're in prayer or whatever it is, and all of a sudden God reveals? I mean, I shared this several weeks ago or whatever. When I was 19 years old, my girlfriend had gotten pregnant, and I was not a believer at the time, but she'd gotten pregnant, and she had an abortion, and I buried and carried that with me for years, and I was at the altar one day crying out to God because the grief, the grief and the shame that I was carrying with that, knowing that I would, that I took the life of the only son, the only child I would ever have. And I was at the altar that one day, and I remember it so clear. I was praying and I was crying, and I said, "Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. God, I repent." I understood at that moment when I was at the altar what repentance was. I had taken a life, and it was wrong. And I asked God to forgive me in that moment. And in that moment, I can tell you to this day, I heard a child's voice say, "Daddy, it's okay. I'll see you when you get to heaven." That is God's grace. It don't matter what you've done in life. You can think that you've done things that are not forgivable. You can think that God cannot use you because of the garbage you have done. It is not true. That is a lie of the enemy. You can be used of God to pour out your heart, your knowledge, your experience to change the life of those around you. One of the things that the Lord told my wife and I when we became youth leaders was, "You're going to tell everybody about your life." The youth know more about our life than the congregation does. All right? They know that they know what's going on. God uses our lives. It was a little bit of a train wreck a few times, but we did all right. It is the grace of God and the righteousness of God in us that allows us to walk in His grace and His mercy. It also allows us to believe God's word. You have a hard time reading God's word. You have a hard time believing it, sometimes understanding it. It is when we are drawn nearer to God and we don't have garbage in our life, we can have clarity in God's word. Fair? And the other thing with righteousness and grace is it allows us to submit our will to God's will. How many of us battle the free will? Yeah, all of us. We should just all raise our hand because we have a free will and we love to fight with God. God's like, go do this. Well, I got tea off at 4:00, Lord. Bro, come on, man. I was sitting in a restaurant one time. I was eating, and I literally did that with God. I was like, he's like, you need to go give a prophetic word to somebody. I'm like, I'm in the middle of my soup, Lord. He's like, I'll keep it warm. Go. You got to love him. He's great. John 3:3. Jesus answered him and said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. We have God's grace. We have God's mercy. We have God pouring out salvation and giving us the gift of salvation. This is Nicodemus is talking with Jesus, and Nicodemus is really, really struggling with what Jesus is saying. Because Nicodemus is a good Jew, and excuse me. I'm all right. I'll make it. We're almost done, actually, I think. Nicodemus is struggling. He's fighting with what Jesus is telling him. The inner man is fighting with the God man. Anybody here ever fight with their inner man? You know what we're supposed to do, but boy, is it hard to do it. It's entertaining because all of us have that. Repentance is a lifestyle that doesn't just change a behavior. Hear me clearly. Repentance is not about changing a behavior. Repentance is about changing the inner person so the behavior goes away. We all have behaviors. Nicodemus could not understand what being born again was. He couldn't understand what it meant to be a believer in Jesus Christ. He couldn't understand the pain, the agony that Jesus was going to endure. He couldn't understand a lot of things because we all do this. We all come to every situation with our junk, with our life experience, with our life process. Everything you have experienced, every thought you have is filtered through your life experience. Right? That is why sometimes when we say things to people, they get really upset and leave and they get all huffy. I'm like, all I said was peanut butter. And then you find out the person has an allergy to peanut butter or somebody threw peanut butter at them or whatever. But there are key things. There are triggers that set people off that could be words. And that's the inner man, the inner behaviors that God wants to change. Ultimately, God wants all of us to have the peace of God upon us. That we would be relaxed, that we would have grace, we would have mercy, that we don't have to live in the anxiety and the fear and the guilt and the shame of the world. God wants us to live in his peace, in his joy, and in his mercy. And of course, this can only be done when we have a good relationship with him. James 4:8 is probably one of my favorite scriptures because it's a solid reminder to me of what I need to do. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Drawing near to God. Be honest with yourself. How often do you draw near to God? How often do you spend time in relationship drawing near to him? See, repentance is a form of drawing near to him. When you go to him and you tell him, hey, look, this, you've thought about that process. You said, Lord, I'm done with it. I want you to take it. And you walk away from it. You're drawing near to God in a deeper, more intimate relationship. How do you build relationships with people that you're friends with? Do you just message them once a month and say, hey, bro, what's up? No. The people that are in your life that you have deep relationship with that are important to you, you spend time. You want to have a relationship with God, draw near to him in your aspects of your life. Whatever your problem is, whatever your fear is, whatever the sickness is, whatever the disease, whatever you're facing, draw near to him. Because when you draw near to him, the big guy draws near to you. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather have God standing right beside me going, hey, I'm with him, than the enemy stabbing me in the back. I would rather walk with God and be accused by men than not be with God and be accused by him. Folks, I'm on a mission now with our young adults and our youth group, and that mission is to help them develop a deeper relationship with God. God wants you to have a deeper relationship with him. Repentance is a piece of that relationship. Repentance, going to him, realizing the things that you're doing are not healthy, realizing the things that you're doing are not holy, realizing the things that you're doing are not godly, realizing those things that you're doing are putting a barrier between you and God. And by going to him and recognizing what they are, you have an opportunity to have a deeper relationship with him. How many of you want to see miraculous signs? Yeah. I've seen legs grow. I've seen arms grow. I've seen blind eyes that were cloudy clear up when people prayed for them. I've seen demons cast out. We're living in a world right now that is worse than it's ever been morally. It is bad out there, folks. We have lawlessness everywhere, and I'll just use that term. It's everywhere. It's not a time for the church to be afraid. It is not a time for us to be worried. It is a time for us to draw near to God and to be on our knees in prayer. Because in a deep, intimate relationship with God, yes, the enemy may raise his head, but the Lord will always be victorious. Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you gave us your Son who died on the cross for us. Lord, I thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon this congregation and upon the people. Father, I pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon these people. Lord, I pray that over these weeks to come, Lord, that you would come calling, that you would just stir in their heart the desire to have a deeper, more intimate relationship. And Lord, I pray also that if anyone has things that they need to come to you with, that Lord, you would light a fire in their spirit to repent and to be released from those things. That they would draw near to you, Lord, that they would walk in the righteousness of Christ, that they would become doers of the word, like love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. Lord, thank you and we bless you and ask that, again, that you would just continually watch over this congregation. We ask this in Jesus' name.